Go ahead.
Hey, it's Tyler Randolph. Mike, I think you hit the nail on the head. And Todd, so did you. You know, first part is, why are we listening to people who, quote unquote, screwed up the lower 48? That's why we live here. We don't want to deal with it. Second thing, Mike, you hit several really good points in saying, you know, we can't sit back and say, okay, you know what, great, we won this victory and everything goes back to the status quo. I think it's pretty, I think it's awesome looking around this room, seeing how many people from the community have showed up at both occasions to show their support for how they really feel. It's unfortunate that we have to have this big of a showing this late in the game on this one single issue. Anytime, and I do appreciate what you guys do, because just like Todd said, Frank said, it is a difficult job, and I respect that. But anytime you people meet, what Mike said, our liberties are at risk, and that's just the nature of the job. But anytime there's an assembly meeting, and myself, I'm just like Frank, I'm completely guilty that we let life get in the way, and slowly our liberties get chipped away. I sure don't want to see a tax for having a for rent sign in my yard or any other things from the lower 48. So I've got two questions. The initiative was sustainable development. How does placing further restrictions and further roadblocks to progress in Kodiak, building up, take your pick, help to entice people to improve Kodiak? When you take more difficult planning and zoning issues and you take our already now in higher sales tax and our higher cost of living and our higher energy costs and our, you know, all of those different things, and you have somebody who doesn't currently live here or is thinking about developing in Kodiak or somewhere else, Kodiak doesn't look as enticing because we already have, we're voting to have these things put into place. And so if it truly is a sustainable initiative, if you continue to bite the hand that feeds you, how does that continue to be sustainable? So that's my first question. My second question is, if these initiatives are only tabled, not terminated, who stands to win? And if they aren't terminated, who stands to lose? And I think everybody in this room stands to lose. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler. Go ahead, Mark.
My name is Mark Anderson, and I just wanted to say just briefly, about, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, many of us here were in the cafeteria going through that process of that started this whole thing when the borough said, hey, let's have a community meeting and we'll break it up into groups. And I don't know how many of you were there, but I was there. And they said, okay, we want some of the fishermen to talk about some of the issues they have. And we want some of the business owners to talk about issues they have. And out of that grew a lot of really good information. And from there, they adopted a committee called the PAC, to come up with the, to work with this outside consulting firm. And I was on that PAC with Dan Rohr and about six other people that I can't remember their names. Teddy Panamarioff, Andy Schroeder.
Alan Torres.
Alan Torres was on there. And we met for almost, gosh, it was almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years, was it, Sheila? It was pretty close to 2 years, and we met a lot of hours, and we ended up with a fairly good document. And I guess as the commission and as you staff, because really this is a staff issue here, I would encourage you to go back to the input that we got from the community on those meetings 3 or 4 years ago, because there was some really good stuff there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm Judy Ketter. I go to a lot of the borough assembly meetings, so I see a lot of what's going on. What everybody needs to be aware of, even though the Planning Commission may vote to kill this thing, it's still up to the assembly to vote on it and finally kill it. So all of you need to be at those meetings as well. There are at least one assembly member that wants to railroad this through. And that was the tone that was at the last assembly meeting, work session that I attended. So even though the commission says that it's a done deal, that's what they indicate, they'll present their findings to the borough assembly, and they can take it or leave it. So our fight's not over, even if it's at this level, so we need to keep this battle going on. While our focus has been on this, the city had a not very well publicized meeting last Saturday about annexing Service District 1, which means sales tax on all our rents and service and things, and it was indicated there was going to be like $200,000 shortfall if they did that because of the services provided. How they're probably going to cover that is to use as an excuse to raise the sewer and water in the city to cover that shortfall. So everybody's going to get like reamed in the long run. So we need to be aware of what's going on in Kodiak and keep our eyes open. There's a group of people who are keeping their eyes out, trying to get information out as much as possible. We want accurate information. As you saw in yesterday's paper, it was inaccurate reportings. The borough has a Facebook site. They're doing a better job of posting information regarding meetings and things like that, agendas and things. And the audio from all of the meetings is on that website. So if you want the facts, get online and go listen for yourself. And just be informed, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, because there's a lot of stuff that slips through. A case in point was the sewage sludge going out at Middle Bay. When ADEC came out with the public comment on that, it was site-specific. And after much research, we found out that the city didn't tell anybody where it was going to be. It was a big surprise. That's why we got the public comment extended on it and that project got cancelled, because people were paying attention. Everybody needs to pay attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Staff?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zachary Lloyd. A powerful experience to witness the people of Kodiak take a stand against the tyranny. I would also like to thank the borough elected officials for agreeing to overstep boundaries and more expose the already flawed zoning ordinances to the general public. As the regulations are, they leave a large part of the population of Kodiak as law-breaking criminals. But codes are enforced by complaint only. This leaves many people in a blackmail situation to where they dare not antagonize the establishment for fear of being noticed by the borough and being fined and criminal charges pressed for infractions unknown to places such as Fairbanks, Wasilla, Palmer, Kenai, Soldat, and Arahoma. These penalties could accrue massive debt beyond a property owner's means and criminal charges very quickly, to the point that a paranoid individual might feel these stringent laws could be wielded in a power play to take many people's properties and reallocate them to a more financially established or less rural-thinking clientele for the banks to sell large mortgages to and the borough to collect higher taxes from. It would currently be fully legal. Pressures like these have heavily silenced the opinions of many in our community and greater separated the people from our local government and decisions made. You have mentioned how bad our current codes are, and the only reason that most are able to live by them is by their current lack of enforcement. It is my opinion that our zoning ordinances must be changed to better represent the people of Kodiak and their needs in today's quest for comfort and survival in our rural and subsistence atmosphere. This does not mean more government control and manipulation, but instead the opposite. I believe the people, having been awakened by this outrage, and together may have a chance to provide ourselves with acceptable codes that truly benefit us as a whole. But we have to do it ourselves. Although the borough's electoral has done an adequate job of maintaining our roads and facilities, the governing body, however elected, has not been representing the people very well, and they have proven they cannot be trusted to preserve our rural and subsistence way of life. This is a time where we, where we must reach out our hands and help these elected officials, for they cannot be the voice of the people as well as the voice of the people. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Andy Cron. I live out in the flats. I wanted to speak just shortly about, I think one of the main problems that happened here, and I'm super excited to see as many people are here, and I think it's really cool that people are listening. You know, we're like, okay, we don't like this. And everyone's like, okay, we hear you. You know, we're gonna make this, we're gonna work on this and find something that works for everybody. But I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned enough, and I think Mr. Anderson mentioned that, and I've heard a couple people speaking of it in the last week, is that committee of Kodiak citizens that was here a couple of years ago. And I went to those meetings. I was the only one on crutches at those meetings, so I think people remember me there. And we sat down, I mean, just neighbors, and we sat down and we looked at the codes and we were like, all right, this one. I remember I didn't like the rural designation code, and I didn't like, you know, the one about the chickens. And there was like certain ones were like, okay, how are we gonna work on this? And I mean, those people put, you know, I went to a couple of meetings, but those people put hundreds of hours into those codes, into rewriting those codes, and those are our neighbors. You know, I mean, those are our people from the lower 48 that don't know Kodiak. Those are people that, you know, make up the foundation of this community. And those are good people that worked really hard. I remember sitting at the table with Janet Buckingham. I mean, that's a good woman, and she worked hard. And there seemed to be something that happened. There was some kind of disconnect that happened after the Kodiak citizens took over, and the people from the lower 48, the corporation or whatever, or who, I'm not exactly sure who it is, so I don't want to, you know, the people that came in and took over after the Kodiak residents had their say, something got twisted, something got messed up, something got apparently, you know, just something went wrong. And I think the information that started originally, that's good stuff. You know, you should probably save that and keep an eye on it as in the future we go through the code piece by piece, which I think is how a couple years ago, that's what everybody was talking about. Like, hey, why don't we just break this down, I mean, a couple pieces at a time. We're saying the same thing we've been saying for the last 3 years. And something happened, and I don't think we need to outsource. You know, I mean, yes, they do things very efficiently down in the lower 48, but Kodiak's a unique town. And we do a lot of things on our own, and we rely on our neighbors, and we rely on each other and our own knowledge, because things that work in the lower 48 don't work here, and they don't work as well. So I think in the future, I would caution against outsourcing these really important things, because it looks like what it's done is essentially turned our town against itself. I mean, we've got like, you know, for a while there, it was like everything short of like pitchforks and torches. I mean, it was getting kind of crazy. You know, and I think if we had left it to the people, you know, the people that you see every day when you go to Taco Bell or whatever, you know, like, hey, I didn't like that one code. It just got weird, you know, and I think the outsourcing was the problem. So.
Thank you. Neil?
My name's Neil Cooper, and apparently I have a loud voice. I had a lot of things to say tonight, and everybody said it all, except for that right there. Tanya Brockman / Lee thought it might be nice to let you guys know that she loves you and that those brownies are for you.
Thank you.
There are people out here that, like myself, that don't like to speak in public. But sometimes we're required to speak in public because other people are afraid to get out here and talk in front of people. I hear people up here in front of us say certain things, like we want to hear you public, we want to hear the public speak, but then they can't hear us and they vote down what Ms. Painter put out there to kill this thing forever. So the people that are there, pay attention to what they're saying because we know who you are. I feel really strongly about this stuff, and some of the stuff that the people that remember me from is from law enforcement, where it says, when the people fear the government, we have tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's freedom. And I'm not sure, except that came from the Federalist Papers. You represent us. We pay your bill. those on this table over here. Some of you people have volunteered, and that's, we really appreciate it. The Alaska Supreme Court has said that the law must be narrowly tailored to promote a compelling government interest and be the least restrictive means available to vindicate that interest. That means, people, when you write something, you've written all the way around it so that we can't move. When you're trying to, like this, locally, we have a walk of life asking some of us to speak on their behalf about these immensely and overreaching codes. Here's an example of an overreaching code in Title 18. No permit by the borough may be enforced against the borough unless the permit was executed in accordance with this title.
Direct your comments to it, because there's some people that are like
this. I had an opinion about this. My opinion says it's not clearly presented. What that really says, and I've contacted other people and attorneys that interpret that, that says that the borough is not responsible for any mistake they make. They can make any mistake. They can say, oh, shoot, I know somebody, a new friend of mine that was building a really nice place and was shut down for 5 weeks because a borough went and put a cease and desist order on the property. Those big props up on top of Pillar Mountain, those are in watershed. The borough can do whatever they want. We're not holding them accountable. So lastly, what I'd like to say is, we the people, we give the borough money to buy land. Then they turn around and permit us, they give us a permit to use our own land, or then they turn around and sell it for an exorbitant amount of money. You represent us. Quit trying to take advantage of us. We are the people. This is Kodiak. Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Thank you, Neil. Go ahead. Okay. I've been informed that on KMXT, they don't pick it up when you turn away from the mic. So please try and speak into the mic, and you might want to tilt that one a little bit so easier for you to get, and I think the head will tilt on that. So go ahead.
How's that? My name is Julie Cavanaugh, and I've lived in Kodiak since the early 80s. I don't remember when I got here first. I wasn't going to speak tonight because I had the opportunity to speak at the last public meeting, but I've been conflicted about this whole process since that first meeting. And I didn't keep track of all my hours, but I probably spent 150 plus hours reading the code over and over again and cross-referencing it. And I even took some advice from the last meeting and I broke it down into small sections so that I wouldn't get overwhelmed, and which is crazy because I actually like that kind of verbiage. But I was gonna take the challenge. I was gonna take the challenge to make changes and to tell you guys what I did like and what I didn't like. And after about 70 hours, it was apparent to me that I was gonna ask you guys for so many changes and so many deletions that it was ridiculous. It would have been almost the same amount of paperwork in what I thought needed to go or be changed as what was presented to me. And that's ridiculous to ask a citizen that has tasked the people before me to do that. If we all had to go through that code and spend 150 hours to come up with 100 pages of deletions or changes and submit them in writing, or actually if I had to speak to those changes, it would take up the whole 3 hours here. I really understand that written comment is appreciated, but when you testify verbally in front of people, it's much more of an impact. So what I brought with me today was this. It's called a blank page. And I think that people have been telling you to go back to the original code and make the changes from there. Because what I think I'm hearing is we're tabling the revision and we are going to address the revision. I don't know if Commissioner Painter's motion was to bring forth the old code and take it piece by piece, or was it to take forward the revision? That makes me feel a lot better, because I was really afraid that I was going to have to bring my 100 pages of changes with me next time. And so therefore, that's why I'm not going to tell you what I want changed tonight. And I'm assuming, and I don't pretend to know what everybody else has done, but when you pick up a piece of work that big and you have to work through it, it gets to be overwhelming, and your kids need dinner, and it's ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Anybody that would like to say anything, please feel free to come up. Go ahead, Jim.
Good evening. My name's Jim Rippey. First of all, I'd like to thank you folks for all the time you've taken on this. I realize it's a volunteer position, and you guys got a whole lot on your table here, so thank you for that. I came here as a young adult in 1975. It was so easy to get a grasp on a dream that you have to be able to build your own house, start your own business. The restrictions weren't there, and I really fear for our youth and our young adults and our children. They don't have even close to the opportunity that we have, even with today's codes. I miss the days of seeing the crab pots being hauled around town on the old pickup trucks with the tripod off the top of it. The simplicity of life here. Since the Valdez, Exxon Valdez happened, our community changed tenfold, code-wise, everything we do, and not for the better by any means. One person's utopia is different from another person's utopia. I think these people's utopia, most of them that are in the audience here, are look at the old school. We don't want everything from down south being shoved down us here. I'm gonna try to keep this short. Staff is supposed to work at the will of the assembly. We've had a slow creep since about 1990 here on our rights. Very slow creep. And there's a disjunction between our borough assembly leadership to staff. And I just really feel staff has taken advantage of that and putting us under dire straits by taking away our liberties every day up there. They seem to snicker about a lot of issues that when you go up and try to have a question about it. And I'm going to give you a little story about that. I own the Russian River Roadhouse out in Bell's Flats. It's a piece of business property. I had a lumber yard there called Riptech Lumber and Building Products, and I changed the occupation to a small transient hotel. I house Java Flats as well. I'm sure a lot of people know where that's at. When I changed the occupancy in there, this is what I went through. I went into the borough and said, I'd like to operate as a B&B or such. And they said, well, you can't have a B&B on your property because you're business property. I said, okay, then I'd like to have a lodge. They said, no, you can't have a lodge because you're not on conservation property. I said, how about a motel? I said, nope, you can't have a motel because you don't have doors from the outside to each room. I said, how about a hotel? Nope, you can't have a hotel because it has to be at least 2 stories. So I said, well, how about a roadhouse? Boy, the hair went everywhere. So in order to call it what I wanted to call it, I had to pay $250 and go in front of P&Z and go through the whole process. And I ended up calling it the Russian River Roadhouse because that's what I wanted. So we need to put our foots down at some point, and we need our community back. We're too regulated here. If a person's paying his property tax, be a good neighbor and don't have crap all over your yard unless you want crap all over your yard, and then deal with your neighbor and deal with it that way. We just, because we are good people here, and for some reason, our government has made it neighbor against neighbor here, and that's the worst government can be. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim.
My name is Jenny Shank. I live at the dead end of Woodland Drive. And I've spoken to this group before about the zoning change proposed in Title 17 for Woodland Drive, Seabreeze Circle, and part of Sunset, changing it from rural residential to rural residential one. I want to start out by just talking about the word perception. The definition of this word is a way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something, a mental impression. Synonyms for perception are impression, idea, conception, notion, thought, belief, judgment, estimation. So keep that in mind, please. Even though today's newspaper reported that the Borough Community Development Department has recommended to P&Z to table further consideration of Title 17 at this time, I feel it's important to say what we have to say at this public hearing. The reason I started with the word perception is that from the very beginning of becoming aware of the proposed rezone of our property last summer, I have not had a clear picture of where the push was coming from to allow property owners of 1-acre lots to subdivide to 1.5-acre lots, as well as allow the building of ADUs, accessory dwelling units, that could be rented out. In reality, this is changing rural residential 1-acre lots with one dwelling to potentially having 4 dwellings on 1 acre. A huge change. The notices from the from the borough about the proposed changes were sent out to the affected property owners in August of 2014. This idea to make drastic changes was discussed at the borough level, apparently as early as May 2012. My perception of this issue is that perhaps there were some decisions made to move forward with changes that we should have been aware of and involved in at an earlier stage. Excuse me. The same might be said about the entire process of the code revisions that now has come to this. Transparency in government has been a buzzword for a while, but I have to tell you, these code and zoning revisions and the way it has been handled has not been transparent, nor has it promoted feelings of trusting our local government. A lot of damage has been done to relationships between neighbors and setting people against each other. I would just like to implore you, if you are tabling Title 17, that if you decide to revisit this proposal, please have the borough mail out notices to all affected property owners at the beginning of the process, not at the middle and not at the end. To end on a positive note, I have to say that I was very proud of Kodiak people for showing up and testifying at the previous public hearing and, of course, tonight. People spoke from their hearts and let the commission know in no uncertain terms that nobody liked what the code revisions were forcing on the community. People continue to be involved in what we love about living here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Good evening, my name is Kyle Crow. I believe that this code revision fiasco is just a symptom of the real problem. Tonight's anticipated action by the commission to postpone indefinitely may be a citizen's victory. However, only time will really tell. Hopefully, it is the beginning of the solution. As I said at the last public hearing, the department has been permitted over time and circumstances to achieve an unhealthy influence. They have become the virtual sole source of information and advice on the meaning of the code, and anyone who seeks to build, repair, or place anything on their property needs to see if it is allowed or how it must be done. We are all at the mercy of the department and their determinations and opinions and their almost exclusive knowledge of and familiarity with the code and their unique processes for granting approval. The Assembly will be holding a joint work session next week on the 12th with the Commission and staff to provide guidance and direction for moving forward with this code revision effort. It's important to note, excuse me, that the code revision effort is not dead. The Assembly and Commission appears to agree that the process and draft code is so seriously flawed that it should be, quote, killed and started anew. The Mayor and Assembly will most likely direct the Department to cherry pick various paragraphs, sentences, and sections and concepts from the draft code and use this material to fix the existing code. I urge you to more closely supervise, direct, and manage the department's efforts to prevent a reoccurrence of this fiasco. Please don't make changes that aren't needed. Please direct the department to only improve and modify those particular sentences and paragraphs and sections of the existing code that need to be fixed, and demand to be shown what is wrong with the existing code, sentence, paragraph, or section, if it is going to be repaired, and demand that any new language is written to protect the public rather than grant the department vague new powers and controls. The Alaska Supreme Court says that the law must be narrowly tailored to promote a compelling governmental interest and be the least restrictive means available to vindicate that interest. We ask that you closely guide and direct this effort and not just polish and rubber stamp what the bureaucrats bring you. I'm in this for the long haul, and I will be helping in any way that I can to ensure that the department is given the authority and the tools it needs to do its job serving the citizens of this borough. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle, one thing I would say is that's March 12th. On that joint work session, not February 12th. Just thank you. Sid, go ahead. Thank you.
My name's Sid Pruitt. I've been here a while, and I don't like the old code or the new code. I think you ought to get rid of both of them. I sat down today and tried to figure out what part I wanted to address. And so I just picked a spot, and I don't think there's any 10 pages in the old code or the new code that you could read and not make you mad. It ought to be training. If you could read 10 pages and not get angry, you should successfully complete an anger management class. If you can read 20 of them, you could probably teach it. If you can go through 25 pages, you probably can't read. So, I want to address one thing. I almost made it through the signs, by the way, but I didn't make it. The sign part of the code. Anyway, performance guarantees. I didn't know this existed, and I'm not sure if it's old or new. I think it's old. The intent, the Borough Assembly or Planning and Zoning Commission may require an applicant to deposit a performance guarantee to ensure compliance with this title, the completion of improvements and to protect natural resources and health, safety, welfare of the borough residents and future users of the inhabitants of the project. A performance guarantee shall remain as a cash deposit, certified check, letter of credit, or legal certainty approved by the borough in the amount equal to the estimated cost of any improvements to be made as determined by the applicant and confirmed and verified by the representative of the borough. I thought we lived in the United States. This sounds like Russia, or I don't know where that would come from. I built my house out of my pocket. If I had $100 extra, I bought something to go on the house. If I'd had to go up and pay the borough to build my house before I could build it, nothing would have got done. And I don't know how these young people out here can get anything done with this kind of regulation. It's ridiculous. So I would like to see my son and daughter be able to do the same things that I did. And I got a couple of pieces of property for them in the future if they decide to. But there is no way that they could do it with these kind of regulations. That has no place in this community. Whether the old code or the new code or anything like it, it's ridiculous. Now, I just recently put a shop up in my house, and I went through the zoning department, and it basically sailed right through. I haven't had any problem at all I didn't have to put up a guarantee. I didn't even know this existed. If they wanted me to do it, I probably wouldn't have done it anyway. But if you're going to improve something, I told you at the meeting of last summer when we was there, Scott, if you're going to go through this, try to improve it. Just don't Band-Aid or put something on the old stuff to make it better. Just get rid of this kind of stuff because we don't need it. Now, if Russia is going to come over here and build a nuclear plant, I can understand that performance bond, but this is ridiculous.
Thank you, Sid. Go ahead, Mike.
My name's Mike Milligan, and what Sid said, I really agree with. Years ago, back in the 90s, I had a short-lived contract to sell fish to aid packages, and this was when there was a big war in Yugoslavia. And I figured it would take them about a generation to rebuild that area, but they rebuilt really fast because the majority of the people in that area had built their own homes. And for me, since I've been in Alaska, I've been in Alaska since 74, that's always been the canary in the birdcage for me. How hard is it for somebody to build their own home? Now that's my value, that's my canary. And it doesn't have to be your canary. But I think most of us, and I've got four adult children that were born here, I think the big thing a lot of us that intend to stay here is how hard is it for young people to build here, to live here, to rent here. We know what the rents are. This is one of the highest rents in Alaska. So I would propose in section 18, it could be in 0.20140 or 0.40020 in outcry auctions, sealed bid auctions, over-the-counter sales, that we give a 10% bidding advantage to anybody once in their life, anybody that has a Kodiak High School diploma. Now, Scott would be able to use it once, just like kids that graduate next year would be able to use it once. But the borough has a lot of land, and that's what Bud Cassidy did when I first met him. He was a landsman. He spent all day long trying to figure out what borough land could be sold. Now, you don't have to have the value, like I said, of the canary in the birdcage. I know a lot of women that are probably nudging their husbands right now saying, don't even think about it. We're going to get a bank loan and get that house fast. But the challenge for any community like Kodiak, and Kodiak is unique in a lot of ways, but we have in common, we are an original wealth community. The wealth that comes out of the ocean here begins here. And the challenge for the code and for the community is that the code needs to make it easy to keep value here. It shouldn't be easy to come here, take value, and leave. And those codes should reflect our values. They should be a reflection of our personal values. So we should be able to keep our wealth here, and the code should reflect those values that we have, that are building yourself, independence, advancing yourself, building your own wealth. Those values should be reflected in the code. I'm really proud to live here. I love sustainability. I feel a huge sense of pride whenever I come to town and I see the windmills up on Pillar. I mean, I just feel really fortunate to be here. But my son and his friend just left. I've known the one kid since he was in kindergarten. They just bought borough property, and I don't think they realize how impossible it is going to be for them to build a house here on their own without a bank loan, out of pocket. And that's something we shouldn't discourage. That's something we should encourage, because it keeps wealth here. And that's what the code should reflect. And I would encourage you to look at this 10% bidding discount for anybody with a Kodiak High School diploma. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Donna Jones. I've been here since 1999. The borough spent a lot of money on this code revision. And it's like when you buy something that doesn't fit, you feel dumb. And it still doesn't fit, and it doesn't wash. And sooner or later, you're going to have to bite the bullet and give it to the thrift store. It's going to be a temptation to say, oh, we spent all that money on these code revisions. But guess what? They're still not going to fit. They're not going to wash. So I would like to strongly suggest that people keep that in mind. You hate to waste the money you spent, but sometimes you just got to go, I blew it. You know, it's just a dress. It's just a code revision. Better than cause us enormous headaches for years and years with something that doesn't fit and doesn't wash. Thank you.
Thank you.